The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
We hear about the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12, Genesis 15, and other passages. What about the timing of Abraham's justification? When did that happen? We'll share a couple of different views today. We're glad that you've joined us here on Grace in Focus. This is a broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We are located in North Texas, and you can find out more about us by going to our website, faithalone.org. At GES Seminary, we're gearing up soon for our fall semester. This is our online seminary where you can earn an MDiv degree. If you would like to study with us this fall, it's time to go through the application process. It is fairly simple. Find it on our website, faithalone.org. Go ahead and complete it, and then you'll be ready for registration just around the corner. That's faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Sam Marr.
We have a question from Hayden. The verses he's asking about are Hebrews 11:8 and Galatians 3:8, but the question is, and I think you've talked about it before, was Abraham justified? Was he, I guess, a believer in, did that start in Genesis 12 or Genesis 15? And Hayden is asking in light of Hebrews 11:8 and Galatians 3:8.
Okay. And by the way, this is Hayden from the land down under. He's one of our seminary students, and he's planning a church there, and he's in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So Genesis 12, maybe you have it there. Genesis 12 and verse 3 says, at least in part, in you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, the one who blesses you, I will bless. The one who curses you, I will curse. You have it there?
Yeah, he says, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
Okay, now in Galatians chapter 3, and verse 8, Paul says that God preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So in Galatians 3:8, he's citing Genesis 12:3, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Galatians, I argue this in the revised chapter on gospel in my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words. I suggest that in Galatians, the word gospel refers to the good news of justification by faith alone, apart from works. You see it over and over and over again in the book. So, in what sense did God preach the good news of justification by faith alone when he said, the one who blesses you, I will bless, the one who curses you, I will curse, in you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed? Here's my answer, and it also ties in with Hebrews 11:8 that we can talk about in a minute. And that is that what God said in Genesis 12:3 anticipated Genesis 15:6, where it says Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. In other words, justification by faith alone is the way in which all the nations of the earth will be blessed in Abraham. But that wasn't clear to Abraham in Genesis 12. Now, there are people who disagree with me. For example, John Niemela thinks that John 15:6 starts with what's called a vav disjunctive. And that's kind of a fancy way of saying this and there at the beginning of Genesis 15:6, and Abraham believed God and it was reckoned as righteous, really looks back to Genesis 12:3. If you hold that view, then you have to argue that Genesis 12:3 isn't all that God said to Abraham at that time. Because there's nothing in Genesis 12:1 to 3 about, if you believe in me, you have everlasting life. However, in Genesis 15:1 through 5, you have the promise of a seed coming through Abraham and Sarah, not coming through Eleazar, not coming through Hagar, but coming through Sarah. And it was going to be a miraculous birth. And again, I would even argue in Genesis 15:1 through 5 that probably the Lord said more than what is recorded there. But in any case, the text is clear. Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Paul quotes that in Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. He also quotes it in Galatians chapter 3. both indicating this is the time at which Abraham was justified. And so we don't find Paul quoting Genesis 12:3 to say that's when he was justified. We do find him saying that's when God preached the gospel to him. Now bring up, what does Hebrews 11:8 say?
Hebrews 11:8 says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going." And it goes on, but it's talking about the faith of Abraham.
Okay, so if you take my view, and I know you don't, Sam, but if you took my view, what would that mean when it says, "By faith Abraham went out"? Was he born again at that point, if you hold my view?
Just based on this, I don't know. I don't think this verse tells us. It just, we know that he had some kind of, he knew about God and he believed in God.
Right.
You know, he didn't believe in the other, you know, gods of the time. He believed in the one true God and he obeyed him when God said to go out.
Right.
And so that would be my, why I think I lean towards Niemela's view is, we're introduced to Abraham as he's already faithful. He already believes in God.
Right.
God tells him to do something, he just does it.
Right.
So to me, that indicates to me that he could have already believed in the promise of everlasting life, even if God hadn't told him that it was going to come through his seed, that the entire earth was going to be blessed in that regard. I think, in my view, I think he was already a believer.
You are invited to subscribe to the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. You will find our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday videos there, enlightening and encouraging, and even probably humorous at times if you like Bob Wilkins' humor. Indeed, you will get biblical truth about free grace themes like faith alone for eternal salvation and why the Grace Evangelical Society is zero-point Calvinistic. We come your way 3 times a week at the Grace Evangelical YouTube channel. Check it out and tell a friend about the Grace Evangelical Society.
In my view, I think he was already a believer, but then obviously there's other aspects.
But do you see what it would mean if you take my view?
For verse 8?
Yeah, it would mean that God says unbelievers can believe and act in faith. And I don't mean believe in Jesus for everlasting life. I mean they can believe things God says. So if God says, leave your land and go to the land I show you, and I'm going to give you this land of promise, and it's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey, he believed God for that. In my view, what this verse is saying is unbelievers can be responsive to God. And in fact, I think this anticipates his justification in Genesis 15. Don't we see something similar to that in Acts 10 with Cornelius?
Yeah, I was going to say Cornelius and the Ethiopian eunuch are two examples of,
I like that,
God-fearers or men seeking God who were faithful, they believed in the one true God.
And they were actually obeying it to some degree.
Right.
Like in the case of the Ethiopian eunuch, he's just been to Jerusalem to worship and went to a lot of effort to go there and to worship. And in the case of Cornelius, we're told his prayers and alms ascended to God and were a pleasing aroma to God. And so that's why God sent an angel to him. So either way, yes, it's possible he came to faith in Genesis 12:3. But what I would argue is, and I think Hayden even asked this at the end, if Hebrews 11:8, if he's an unbeliever when he went out, then we're saying this unbeliever believed something and this unbeliever obeyed God. And I'd say, yes, yes. Just like you said, there's lots of unbelievers who believe in God and lots of unbelievers who obey God. In other words, they obey God as much as they understand him and what he's saying. That doesn't give them eternal life. But it does mean that they are in a position where they're more likely to come to faith. There's an obscure verse in Acts chapter 10 that a lot of people aren't aware of. Can you turn to Acts 10:35? Acts 10:35 is a verse that most people have trouble with, and I did for a long time, but I think I grasp it now. What does it say there?
"But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him."
Yeah, now, that sounds like work salvation almost, right? Whoever fears God and works righteousness is accepted by him. But accepted by him doesn't mean is born again. All it means is if there is a God-fearer in any nation who's working righteousness, and by the way, that verse says that unbelievers can work righteousness. It doesn't mean they're righteous, because remember in Isaiah 64, 6, the prophet says, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Well, that doesn't deny that we have righteous deeds. It's just saying add them all together and they're worthless in terms of somehow gaining standing with God. But on the other hand, they are not worthless in terms of gaining God's attention. I think that's what the accepted by him means. That's why God sent an angel to tell him to send for Simon Peter. And that's why Simon Peter came and gave him the message of eternal life. So I would say that what we see in Genesis 12:3 is kind of God testing Abraham. Is he going to believe me? Is he going to obey me? And he does. And we see that time and time again in Abraham's life. And many times he fails, right? He goes to Egypt twice, and both times pawns off his wife as his sister. And that wasn't pleasing to God, but yet he learned from those incidents. There were lots of times when he acted in faith, especially Genesis 22, where he offers up Isaac. According to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, that's regarded as the greatest act of piety. And that's not just Christians that think that way. Jews think that way, and so do Muslims. Now, he'd been a believer for many years at that point, but it was a natural outgrowth of the fact that he was convinced of the promise of the coming Messiah. And the book of Hebrews tells us he believed God would raise Isaac from the dead. So in any regard, I like what Hayden's asking, but I would say for each of you, if you want to do a study on this, look up Abraham believed God and it was reckoned him as righteousness in Romans chapter 4. Look it up in Galatians chapter 3. It also occurs in James chapter 2. And then look it up in Genesis 15:6 and study that out. And then look at Genesis 12:1-3 and come to your own conclusion. Ultimately, from a practical standpoint, the only major difference I can see is that ultimately, if you say he was born again in chapter 12, you have to say somehow there was communication that it was by faith that he'd be justified. And then you have the believer going out. But I think it's even more exciting if this is an unbeliever who is obeying God. And by the way, you mentioned polytheism. He grew up in a polytheistic culture, and it was only when he met God that he came to believe there's only one true God. Well, great question, Hayden. All of us should keep asking those good questions. That's what meditation on Scripture is all about. And in the meantime, let's
keep grace
in focus.
Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. Next episode on Grace in Focus, how can a carnal Christian be in fellowship with God? Is it possible? We'll see you next time, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.